إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فإني أشكر الله سبحانه وتعالى على ما من به علينا من نعم كثيرة ظاهرة وباطنة، أهمها وأعظمها أن هدانا الله سبحانه وتعالى للإسلام والاتباع سنة خير الأنام محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم أزكى الصلاة والسلام. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We worship Him alone, and we do not associate any partners with Him in worship. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His endless bounties upon us. The greatest of all is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us toward Islam. And to be from the followers of the best of mankind, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma thabbitna ala sunnah ya rabbal alameen. We ask Allah to keep us firm upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وكذلك أشكر الله سبحانه وتعالى على أن هيأ لنا في مثل هذا المسجد العامر هذه الدروس الطيبة المباركة التي من خلالها نربط أنفسنا وإياكم بالعلماء الربانيين، علماء أهل السنة والجماعة، فنقرأ من كتبهم ولا نصدر إلا عنهم، ونسأل الله أن يجزيهم خير الجزاء وأن يوفقنا باتباع هديهم ونصائحهم الغالية. Likewise, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala since He has conferred upon us a ni'mah, a favor, is the fact that here at this blessed masjid, alhamdulillah, we have classes. And this is a ni'mah from Allah that in these classes we come from the books of the ulama. Had it not been for Allah, I'd be just talking to you, telling you stories now. And had it not been for the ni'mah of Allah upon you, you'd be listening to me as well. And you think like I am somebody worthy of just sitting here and talk to you. But alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding us to this path. And that we, in our classes, we come from the books of the ulama. We read them to you. And we try to our best to apply the guidance of our noble scholars. May Allah reward them, all the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah. May Allah reward them plenty for their efforts. May Allah have mercy on those who died amongst them, regardless what country they come from, what nationality they may be from. May Allah grant genital for those who died amongst them, for the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah and Jama'ah. As for those who are still alive amongst them, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase them in knowledge and in hikmah, wisdom. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to continue to benefit from their works. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who humble themselves and they know themselves. And they know the position of the ulama. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us modesty. Because without modesty, we're going to be causing a lot of harm to ourselves. And those amongst us who speak behind the mic will be causing harms to others. May Allah protect us from causing any harm for ourselves or for any of the Muslims. As you know, alhamdulillah, here at Masjid al-Tawheed, and this should be the case in every masjid But Allahu al-Musta'an, some of the masajid, you will find the people in charge of them, mashallah. But alhamdulillah, in this masjid, in our classes, we refer to the books of the ulama. As you know, there is classes in aqeedah, alhamdulillah, in tawheed, in fiqh. There is classes, alhamdulillah, on salat, classes in tafsir, the Quran, memorization of the Quran. There is classes in hadith, alhamdulillah, in the seerah, and other fields of this deen of Islam. But sometimes, as well, we read a book, we choose a book, alhamdulillah, we choose a book, and we read to you from that book. And we try our best to finish it in a weekend. If we can't, we may do it on another time, insha'Allah ta'ala. So this is the case tonight. We're starting reading from a book of one of the great scholars of this time, our beloved Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, his book Makarim al-Akhlaq, the Makarim al-Akhlaq, the upright moral character, the upright moral character. And this is very important. We follow in this way because this is the right way. Lectures, they have benefits, no doubt. General talks and lectures, they have benefits. As once Sheikh Ubaid al-Jabir years ago, maybe 10 years ago, he advised me personally, and this advice for everybody else, that in our seminars, in our dawarat, the Sheikh, he noticed that the topic will be on a general topic, and then those who are speaking, they speak on a general topic. Everybody give a talk or two. And also when we call the ulama on the phone, and then they give a general talk. The Shaykh, he said to me then, no doubt this way is beneficial, but what is better is that you study a book. That you study a book. In your seminars, you gotta make sure you have a book. In your classes, you have a book. Why? Because he says there is so much benefits when you finish a book. Now you have that book. Because a general talk, the person who gives that general talk, usually he goes and gets you a little bit from this book, a little bit from this sheikh, a little bit from here. It'd be difficult for you, the audience, to have all that material. But the book make it way better and easier. Because now all you need to know is to know the name and the title of the book and the author. And you can go get the book and you can read it to yourself. And you can compare the notes, insha'Allah ta'ala. And this is what the ulama, they do in their seminars, in their dawarat. Every single dawra that it is, you know, taking place in Saudi Arabia or Egypt or any elsewhere, you will find the ulama, every one of them choose a book. They choose a book and they begin to read from that book and explain to the people. It's rare when you find here and here one of them give a general talk. But all of them, they choose a book. One person, one sheikh, get a book of hadith. One, a book of fiqh. One, kitab al-tawheed. One, talatat usul. And this, and likewise. One, your book on the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, and the like. Because studying books have so many benefits. I just want to share with you this introduction that may bring some benefits for myself and for my brothers and sisters of Islam. We're going to skip the biography of the Shaykh because we have given that more than one time. And may Allah forgive us just for the lack of time. But Shaykh Muhammad Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's well known. He's one of the great scholars of this time. He's from Saudi Arabia. the country that we always make dua that Allah preserve it, as we ask Allah to preserve all the countries of the Muslims. And especially this one, this is the place where there is the Haramain, there is the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, where the Kaaba is, and also al-Masjid al-Haram, al-Masjid al-Nabawi, the other sacred masjid in Medina. This is a country that is established on Tawheed, on the correct Aqeedah. Whereas you find the rulers, they respect the ulama, the scholars. They go back to them and ask them in the times of calamities and times of trials. They ask the ulama what the shara, what the legislation said about this and this. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was born in Saudi Arabia, in Unayza. Unayza is a city in a province called Al-Qasim. Al-Qasim. Al-Qasim is like a state. It's like a big area that have different cities and villages and the like. It's called Al-Qasim. But he was born in the city of Unayza. On the 27th of Ramadan, Allahu Akbar, 27th of Ramadan of the year 1347 of the Hijrah. They say it corresponds on March the 9th, 1929, on a Christian calendar. Anyway, the Shaykh is a well-known Shaykh. He's one of the main students of another great Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Rahman bin Nasser al-Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala. The Shaykh has a lot of efforts. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen spent his entire life teaching Islam, different fields. He was not specialized only like Aqidah or Hadith. He taught almost every single field in this deen. He has books in Arabic. And when you read his books, he says this man specialized only Arabic. He knows only Arabic. Until you read his books on Aqidah and Tawheed, and you were like, wait a minute, this man, subhanAllah. Then you see his books on Hadith, on Fiqh, Usul. La ilaha illallah. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ أَنْ تَفْسِيرُ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the bounty of Allah. He give it to whom He wills. The Shaykh was involved, subhanAllah, most of his books actually, they are the result of classes. The Shaykh used to teach every day. He go on Hajj, he teach. He go on vacation, he teaches. He goes on Umrah, he has classes in there. They have no vacations, the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah. Even when he came here to America, when he was sick and he came here for cure, he was teaching, giving classes. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, yes, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he was here. Naam, he came, he was in Massachusetts. Naam. SubhanAllah, and he loved to teach the deen and to benefit the people. So much so that even in his last days, the Shaykh is very sick, very weak, still teaching. They mentioned, one of his students mentioned that the Shaykh, once he was teaching, and he has the IV on. You know the IV? He has it on. And he's teaching with that. SubhanAllah. On another occasion, he's teaching, and then a nurse came to check his pulse and this on the right time. And they say, Shaykh, you gotta stop your class, and because the nurse is here. He says, no, I'm not stopping my class. Let the nurse do his job, I'm doing mine. While he giving a class, the nurse sitting right there, take the nerve, take the pulses, and take the Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah. And he was so modest. So modest, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen. And he was nice. He was humorous. He was humorous. He was strict when he's teaching the deen. But then he used to bring humor as well. From the thing that they mentioned about Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, that once he came to Mecca and made the Umrah, He wants to go somewhere and he rode in a cab, taxi. The taxi driver didn't know Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen. He didn't know who he is. So he's a regular man, taxi driver. He got Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen sitting right next to him, he don't know. So the taxi driver, he's like, MashaAllah, MashaAllah, كيف حالك يا شيخ, Alhamdulillah. Then the Sheikh said to him, Na, Alhamdulillah, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih, Uthaymeen. The man, he knows the name. He knows this is a great Sheikh, but he don't know who he is. Then the man, he's like, come on, Sheikh Uthaymeen in my taxi? No way. He said, who? What's your name? Muhammad ibn Salih, Uthaymeen. The man, he didn't believe him. The Sheikh said, and your name? He said, I am Bin Baz. The taxi driver said, I am Bin Baz. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen said to him, no, you can't be Bin Baz. You can't be Bin Baz. Then the taxi driver said, of course I can't be Bin Baz. If you're Ibn Uthaymeen, I am Bin Baz. Yes, I am Bin Baz today. If you are Ibn Uthaymeen, I am Bin Baz. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen said to him, he know. Now Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, he know that this man didn't believe him. Then he said to him, wait a minute. Sheikh Bin Baz is blind. He don't drive no taxi. Then the man is like, he start the taxi, start kissing the Sheikh. Sheikh said, pay attention to the road. SubhanAllah. This is the Sheikh that we try to study his books. SubhanAllah, there's so much benefits. Hikmah, modesty. On another occasion, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's coming back from a journey, traveling, going back to his hometown. And you know, Saudi Arabia, a lot of deserts. Okay, it's a desert. So, when you drive, especially, and it's hot, it's very hot. These days, I checked the temperature, because I checked them. Alhamdulillah, it's 109, 111, 110 right now. In Mecca and Medina, 106. Talking about like 93 is hot. Alhamdulillah. So here, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen in a car, with some of his students coming back. They driving in the heat, in the deserts. And Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, all of a sudden, he said to the driver, stop the car. And then he said to the driver, he said to the people with him, didn't we just pass a man walking on a sidewalk, on the side of the street? They said, oh yeah. He said, go back. So they went back, there is this man walking in the heat. He walking. In the middle of nowhere, ya akhwan, in the desert. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, said to him, after giving him the salam, said to him, where are you going? He says, I'm going to Unayza. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen said, we're going over there too. If you don't mind, you can ride with us. The man said, Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. Yes, I would love to. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen said, but with two conditions. The man says, where are they? He said, you don't smoke in the car. He didn't say to him, do you smoke? See? He said, you don't smoke in the car, just in case if you smoke, and you remember Allah. The man says, that's easy, deal. He says, as for remembering Allah, mashallah, jazakallahu khairan, Shaykh. We all, for the reminder, we're all supposed to remember Allah. And as for smoking, that's why I'm walking anyway, in this heat. I was in a cab with people and they smoke. Ya ikhwan, taqullah, fear Allah, don't smoke, it's haram. Well, at least don't bother the people who don't smoke. He said they didn't want it to hear. He's like, they said to him, listen man, you acting righteous. If you don't like it, get out. He said, yeah, stop the cab, I'm out. And he's out. Allah gave him something better. So then, as the car rolling, you know, assuming they respect the speed limit. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen is very serious about these things, you know. So the Sheikh, they give, he says, take care of the guest. They give him some beverage and this and that. Then the Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, he asks him, he says, you don't mind me ask you? He says, go ahead. He says, you live there? He says, no. He says, you have family you're visiting in Unayza? He says, no. When the man says, no, I'm going, I got some questions I want to ask Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen. He didn't even know who he's talking to. He didn't know who he's talking to now. He's in a car with Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, don't even know it. Because the Sheikh is so modest. He didn't tell him, I am Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen. No. Then Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, with the humor, like I told you, he have a sense of humor. He said, but he don't lie. We don't lie. He said to him, why didn't you ask him earlier when he was talking to you? He said, why didn't you ask him earlier when he was talking to you? The man said to the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, what do you mean? When you were talking to Ibn Uthaymeen earlier. Then that man said, yeah, Shaykh, you're old enough to be Ibn Uthaymeen. Shaykh, barakazakallah khair. This is not the time to crack jokes, okay? So, alright. So he leave him alone. They drop him right by the masjid. So that's the masjid where Ibn Uthaymeen, inshaAllah, pray Asr, inshaAllah, okay? Then the man went there, alhamdulillah, they came, they pray Asr. And who sits after Asr to answer the questions? Ibn Uthaymeen. The man couldn't believe it. So this is the ulama. They somehow this humble. They want good. They mentioned that the king, Faisal, or another one of them, Rahimahullah, came to visit the Shaykh in his house. And he saw how the Shaykh has an old house, and he says, I want to build a house, a new house for you. The Shaykh, he says, oh, I beat you to it. I'm building one in the Salihiyah. The king said, okay. When the king left, some of those students said, Shaykh, what do you mean building a house in the Salihiyah? We never heard that. And beside the point, Salihiyah is a cemetery. He says, that's what I'm building a house at. Allahu Akbar. And then they said, when the king insisted, he says, okay, build a house for the students. That's this imara. Wallahu A'lam. Of course, we get these narrations from the internet. And they mentioned from trustworthy, alhamdulillah, websites. Whatever the case is, maybe this is one of the great mashayikh. He died and passed away on Wednesday, the 15th of Shawwal of the year 1421 of the Hijrah, January the 10th, 2001. And he was 74 years of age. May Allah grant him an abundance of mercy. Ameen. The second thing we want to mention here is actually this little book here, which is Makarim al-Akhlaq, is actually was a talk, a lecture given by Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. Okay? It was a talk that is given by Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. And it was a talk that was given to the youth in the summer camp, one of the summer camps that the youth have. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, listen, this is the great Shaykh. He's going to go to a summer camp of youth to give him a talk. Inaya bil shabab. Because he knows the importance of the youth in Islam and taking good care of them and teaching them. So he went to his sons amongst the students, and gave them this talk. Give him some guidelines and advices. And the talk was about the husnul khuluq. Was about husnul khuluq, the good manners of al-Islam. And then, alhamdulillah, after the death of the Shaykh, there is a mu'assasa that is called Mu'assasa Ibn Uthaymeen, that is run by his son Abdul Rahman and the family. And they still, alhamdulillah, doing a lot of good work, printing out the books of the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala. And from that is this. So now we begin, inshaAllah ta'ala, to read to you the what the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala said. He says, أما بعد فإنه يطيب لي في هذا اللقاء أن أتحدث عن الخلق الحسن. He says, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala says, the focus of our discussion here is on good manners and upright moral character an upright moral character. والخلق كما يقول أهل العلم هو صورة الإنسان الباطنة لأن الإنسان صورتين. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen says character has to do with a person's inner appearance, has to do with the inside of a person. That's the character. The character tells on what's the inside of a person, because you look at a person, the way he look, the way he's dressed, and you may think, that's it, mashallah, you have an idea. But what about the inside? That's his character will tell you about that. It's like a pot. It looks nice outside, but you don't know what's cooking inside until you look at it or until it starts boiling, and then you smell what's in there. Okay? So he said character has to do with a person's inner appearance, as the scholars have mentioned. A person has two kinds of appearances. Has two kinds of appearances. يعني قال الشيخ للإنسان صورتين, صورة ظاهرة وصورة باطنة. الصورة الظاهرة وهي شكل خلقته, شكل خلقته التي جعل الله البدن عليها. وكما نعلم جميعا أن هذه الصورة الظاهرة منها ما هو جميل حسن ومنها ما هو قبيح سيء ومنها ما بين ذلك. There is an outer appearance, the outside, what is apparent to the people, which is his physical shape, the physical shape of the human being, of the person, whether be he or she. And from that Allah has made for him, or form actually, and the form, this is the shape of a person and the form that Allah has made for that person. As well, or as we all know, he says, some people's outer appearance are beautiful, others are ugly, or not that beautiful, and others are in between, are in between. وكذلك تنقسم الصورة الباطنة إلى صورة حسنة وإلى صورة سيئة. وهذا ما يعبر عنه بالخلق. وهذا ما يعبر عنه بالخلق. فالخلق إذن هو الصورة الباطنة التي طبع الإنسان عليها. Likewise, the person have another appearance, an inner appearance, not out but in. Inner appearance, which may also be beautiful or ugly. It could be beautiful too or ugly. And this is what it is referred to as character. خلق. خاء لام قاف. خلق. This is what is referred to as character. The inner appearance that a person possesses naturally. طيب. ثم قال الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله وهل الأخلاق جبلة أم اكتساب؟ Now the Shaykh brought a question and he's going to bring the answer to it. قال, are good manners something that a person naturally possesses or are they something he attains? In another way, good manners, is it something that Allah installed in people? Or those who don't have good manners with them naturally, they're not born with good manners, can they work for them and attain them? والجواب أن الأخلاق منها جبلة ومنها اكتساب بلا شك. The Shaykh said the answer, just as a manner can be innate, they can also without doubt be attained. Yes, certain people, they're nice, they're kind, they're patient, they're gentle, they're generous, they're forgiver, they forgive others, just like that. Even a kafir. Find a kafir, but truthful. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Keep the promise. Allah put that in there. Likewise, other people, they weren't born with these manners. They used to cheat, lie, steal. But then they work hard. Once they know the importance of good manners, they attained those good manners of truthfulness. They worked hard for it. قال الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله بمعنى أن الإنسان كما يكون مطبوعا على الخلق الحسن الجميل فقد يحصل على الخلق عن طريق الكسب والتمرين. So this means that just as a person can naturally have fine, beautiful character, another can put forth effort and attain good character by adapting himself to it. Okay? So this will benefit us. It's not like just because somebody grew up in an environment, nobody taught him good manners. No. You can't stay all your life like that. Now you want to work hard, inshallah ta'ala. Be with those who can help you. Stay away from things that would pull you away from being a good person, being a good slave and servant of Allah, so that you can be a good brother, a good father, a good husband, so that your sister can be a good Muslimah, good servant of Allah, a good wife, a good mother, a good friend and the like. قال ولذلك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأشجع عبد القيس إن فيك خلتين يحبهم الله الحلم والأنات. الحلم والأنات. قال يا رسول الله أنا أتخلق بهما أم الله جبلني عليهما؟ قال بل الله جبلك عليهما. قال أشج الحمد لله الذي جبلني على خلتين يحبهم الله ورسوله. And for this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ashaj Abdul Qais. And Ashaj Abdul Qais, he was Al-Mundir ibn A'id al-Ash'ari, Al-Asari, the leader of his tribe, and the head of their delegation sent to Al-Madina to accept Islam and pledge allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he came as the head of the delegation of his tribe to accept Islam, the Prophet ﷺ, he noticed the two good characters in this man. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, verily you have two characteristics that Allah loves. You have two characteristics that Allah loves. Forbearance, tolerance, and anas. I mean, he's calm. He don't rush into doing things. Because certain people, they haste and do things and regret tomorrow. You gotta take your time. Take it easy. Before you speak, think about it many times. As Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahu ta'ala says, before you talk, think about it. If what you're about to say now, is it pleasing to Allah or not? Because if it's pleasing to Allah, then it's going to be for you in Yawm al-Qiyamah. If it's not, it's going to be against you in Yawm al-Qiyamah. And if it's pleasing to Allah, Allah will love you for that and reward you. People will benefit from that which is pleasing to Allah. And will respect you for that. But if it's not pleasing to Allah, you subject yourself to the punishment of Allah. And the people, they will look at you in another way. Why he's talking like this? See, there is no benefit. So a person, as this is advice from Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, even though we're reading from the book of Shaykh bin Baz, I'm not making a mistake between the names. I just want to mention that because I don't want somebody later on to say, he was talking about Shaykh bin Baz, but he said to Shaykh bin Baz, maybe he made a mistake. Not in this one. I made a lot of mistakes. Okay? I make mistakes. And perhaps I'm going to keep making mistakes until I die. Because I'm human. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Amen. And make us from those who humble themselves and correct their mistakes and accept their mistakes. The problem is this, people, they don't accept their mistakes. They think they don't make mistakes. Even when somebody approaches them when they're talking about their mistakes, they're like, what are you talking about? That's not me. La. May Allah grant us humbleness. May Allah make us humble so we can accept the mistakes. Because once you know what's wrong with you, you try to fix it. Right or wrong. If somebody is very sick but he don't want to admit he's sick. No, I'm not sick. No. Those who are sick and admit, they go to the doctor. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success in this life and the hereafter. So Shaykh bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, think about what you're about to say before you say it. If it's pleasing to Allah and if it's good, then go ahead and say it. Inshallah ta'ala. If it's not, alhamdulillah, you don't have to worry about anything. Don't say anything and you don't have to worry about nothing. But once a person says something, and especially if he says it in front of people, it's out there over there. Can he take it back? No, he can't. And those who don't like him, and those who are really waiting for him to do that something like that, they're going to take that statement of his or hers, they're going to interpret it, and they're going to add to it and spread it all over. And who has to face all this? He's the one who said it. So you don't have to say anything. Say that which is good and pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this man, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that you have two characteristics that are beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, O Messenger of Allah, are they characteristics that I have attained, or has Allah created me with them? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, rather, Allah has created you with them. Allahu Akbar. Then that companion says, all praise is for Allah, the one who created me with two characteristics, beloved to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So hilm, to be able to forgive, even if you have the ability to punish. And he said, no, just go ahead now. Mashallah, Allah yahdik. La bas, don't worry about it. Even in a moment when people think that, say, I'm done, this guy, he got me. And he said, no, I ain't got you. You got yourself. Alright, nobody got you into this but you. Be careful next time. Don't have to worry about me. Faddal. This is hilm. I read in the books of the Salaf the story of this man who was known. He was as an example in hilm and forbearance. People, they come at him, yell at him, say bad things about him, but then when he faced them, he don't do anything to them. He forgave them already. Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais from al-Tabi'een. They mentioned that one day he left the masjid, going to his house. A man right at the door of the masjid started insulting him, calling him names, abusing him in many ways. Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais didn't pay him no mind. He continued walking like nobody is talking to him. Can any one of us do that? Somebody come right there at your ear and yelling at you, screaming, calling you names, but you're going. You're still on your way like nobody talking to you. Until one time, Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais, he stopped. And then the man, he says, okay, now he stopped, what he's going to say. He said to him, listen, ya ibn akhi, O son of my brother. This is the interpretation, like here they say, O son, you know, be nice to him. He says, listen, man, I'm about to enter into my neighborhood, and I am respected amongst my people. If you continue talking like this, you're going to get beat up. And when they see you talking to me like this, they're not going to like it, and you're going to get yourself in big trouble. That's why I'm going to stop right here before we get to the neighborhood. If you have anything in your chest that you still want to say, say it right now. I'm going to stop until you finish everything in your chest, and then you can go home safe to your family. La ilaha illallah. Can any one of us do something like this? Yeah, right. A lot of people get beat up because they say one word. He say one word before he finish it, he's already punched in the face. A'udhu billah. Now this is not, we're going to follow the way of the Salaf. Hilm, be patient. And you may change the life, Allah may change the life of that person because of that moment. Of course, it's difficult to practice. It's easy to preach, it's easy to say these things. Alright, may Allah protect me first. I'm telling you these things. May Allah protect me. I don't know what we will do if somebody come at me, huh? Out there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who apply these things. That's what makes the difference. It's not how much you know. I heard that. I've been there. No, what makes the difference? The practice. How much you put it into your life, in the masjid, at home, at school, in a marketplace, while you're driving, in your town, in another zip code, whenever you may be. That's what makes the difference. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to apply the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anat is that you take it easy. Don't be rushing, making decisions. Take it easy. Even if you know the answer, take some time and think about it. It's like when you're taking a test, a math, chemistry, physics, or whatever. And you know, you finish and you submit the paperwork immediately. Do you do that? No, you don't. What do you? What do you need to do this time? You finished. You still have 45 minutes. They didn't tell you whoever finished give the paper. No, they said from 8 to 11. Well, you finished at 10 o'clock. You still have a whole hour. What a wise person do? He will review his answers. Because sometimes out of pressure, instead to put minus 2, you put what? Plus 2. And that's false. That's the wrong answer right there. Wrong. That's the right answer. Sometimes they want to put 40, what they put? 400. 400, they just add another zero, just like that. But now when he sits, now alhamdulillah, no pressure, now he finished. Now he's looking at his answers. He's like, wait a minute, 400? Who 400 come? It's supposed to be 40. But can he do that after he submit the paper? No. He submit the paper, go outside, and somebody says, oh, that was easy. And then he's like, yeah, man, it's easy. But then the teacher outside, he knows him, he said, what's wrong with you, man? 40, you don't know the difference between 40 and 400? So what did I put there? 400. Oh, can I what? No, you can't. It's the same thing, Ikhwan. This test I'm talking about is this life of ours. Whatever you do, you're still alive. Because death is at 11 o'clock in this example I gave. We have until death. So whatever we do, let us think about it. Let us review our decisions before we go ahead and say whatever we want to say. Before you say, this is okay, this is not okay. Think about it. Because as long as it's not out there, you can always change it in your mind. Because nobody knows what's in your mind. But once you talk about it, once you act upon it, once you make the decision, that's what the people are going to look at. Yes, somebody mad at you, said something. Before you reply, think about it. So that you can come up with the right answer. Not the wrong answer based on anger. When you're angry, you don't make decisions. Don't we know this already? These are the fundamentals, man. These are the basics. When you're angry, don't make no decision. Go somewhere else. You make a decision when you are calm. This is the anas. This is the khisla, barakallahu feekum. May Allah adorn us with them, ameen. For those amongst us that don't have it in them already. So the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahmatullahi ala, قال, فَهَذَا دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْأَخْلَاقَ الْحَمِيدَ الْفَاضِلَةِ تَكُونُ طَبْعًا وَتَكُونُ تَطَبُّعًا وَلَكِنَّ الطَّبْعَ بِلَا شَكْ أَحْسَن مِنَ التَّطَبُّعِ لأن الخلق إذا كان طبيعيا صار سجية للإنسان وطبيعة له لا يحتاج في ممارسته إلى تكلف ولا يحتاج في ممارسته إلى تصنع ولكن هذا فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء ومن حرم هذا أي من حرم الخلق عن سبيل الطبع فإنه يمكنه أن يناله عن سبيل التطبع وذلك بالتمرين والممارسة كما سنذكره إن شاء الله تعالى فيما بعد. Then the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, This is a proof, this hadith. The hadith is a proof that praiseworthy and virtuous manners can be picked up. Yes, you can learn them. You can pick up those manners. Especially if you're around people who have good manners. You go make Umrah, you make Hajj, and especially if you go with a group that take you to the ulama. That's why it's very important. You want to make Umrah, it's not just always the money. Yes, the money is important as well for us, but try to make Hajj with the right people. The people that are going to take you to the ulama, for instance. Ask, is there any package here or there? Is there any people that are going to go for Hajj? Are they upon the Sunnah? Are they going to visit some of the scholars over there, alhamdulillah? Because once you go to the scholars, especially in their homes, and you see how they serve you, subhanAllah, ulama serving you, man. Like Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab Al-Aqil, hafidhahullah. Every time we go for Hajj, he will invite all of us, 200 people, 150 in his house. SubhanAllah, karam, you learn so many things. The karam, for he will cook what we like. He don't impose on us the Saudi food. Now he will call me or call somebody and say, Muhammad, what's the brothers, man? What they eat? What they like? I'm like, Shaykh, listen, they like some fish, some rice, some chicken wings, like this and that, some watermelons, all right? Soda. Now, Sprite, Pepsi, Sheikh, And Sheikh brings us that. He don't drink no Pepsi, but he bring it because the people like it. Let me tell you something. And he will stand the Sheikh. He's the one serving everybody. And he will eat from the leftover, Akhi. This is the Sheikh. After everybody eat, he will like sit and eat from a plate that already some people eat from it. Another example, Sheikh Saleh Al-Suhaimi. He called me once. I was over there and he called me. He said, oh, Muhammad, what a brother, they like this and this. SubhanAllah. Beautiful people. He made his wife to cook donuts. He said to me, the brother, they like donuts in America. I said, yes, Sheikh, they like them. And there was no donuts in there. Now they have them, alhamdulillah. The Sheikh, I don't know how they did that. They make donuts, man. They're not Dunkin' Donuts. They Medina Donuts. They Medina Donuts, man. They, alhamdulillah. They were good. Afdal, afdal. Akhi, the brother, they sat there and they're like, Muhammad, what's that? I'm like, you don't know what's that? Look like donuts. I said, they are donuts, brother. Eat them. Don't ask questions. That shows, look, how the Sheikh, subhanAllah, and then Sheikh, Sheikh is blind. Hafid Allah, Sheikh Saleh. And he can see the impression of the people. And he's like, oh, Muhammad, just between me and he's like, they're liking it, they're eating it. I said, yeah, Sheikh, you have more? He's laughing. He's like, alhamdulillah, they like it. Alhamdulillah. Wallahi, ya akhwan. Sheikh Muqbil al-Wadi'i, rahimahullah. I wasn't there in the marriage, alhamdulillah. I never made it, Allah musta'an. But those brothers who studied there, they said that the Sheikh Muqbil al-Wadi'i, you know what was the food in there? Not much, because the Sheikh, he's not rich. And he has like 6,000, 8,000, 10,000 sometimes students. It's rice. It's rice and some food and stuff. But then, whenever a new group came, especially those who came from Europe and America, Australia, because the Sheikh, he knows these are people, man, they're not like the Arabs or the Pakistanis or the Somalis, they used to that kind of type of life. Students coming from Somal, coming from Morocco, from Algeria, coming from Pakistan. Alhamdulillah. They go to the majlis like they are in their own homelands. But now here are students coming from Sweden, Germany, America, man, coming from the Bronx. Huh? Atlanta, Miami, Chicago, LA. Man, students coming, man, from Australia, New Zealand. The Sheikh used to take care of them, man. The first couple of days, they eat meat. Yes, and vegetables. Sheikh bring them salad. Sheikh bring them, you know, juice. And then after that he tell them, listen man, now you're like us. You're amongst us now. Alright? That's it. Now it's alhamdulillah. Now we gradually we put you into this. The ulama. As for Sheikh bin Baz, if you want to sit right here and tell you what the ulama do on this, Allah musta'an. Maybe one day we do class just on the akhlaq of the ulama. And what they do. Like Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah. This man, it's amazing. He never eats any meal alone. Constantly people around him eating with him. Doesn't matter. In Hajj. In his house. When he travels, people travel with him. I mean like crowds. 50, 60, 80, 100. And people come from all over. And the Sheikh was blind as well. Rahimahullah. And some of his students or people around him that work for the Sheikh, they used to come to the Sheikh and say, "Ya Sheikh, there is some people, man, they look like they're poor people. Sheikh, they don't know how to eat and they, you know, can we just like give them a plate by themselves?" The Sheikh get mad. So they didn't come to your house. Because sometimes you find with the Sheikh, it's like a high class people, if we can say it like that. Ministers, you know what I'm saying? Presidents, big shot people, ulama, you know, big shot people, you know. But then, as soon as they serve the food, anybody can sit. And some of the people, you know, they poor people, they come from countryside, they don't have, maybe they don't learn the manners and the etiquette, because those high class people, they just like eat like this. They're looking at the food. Is the food there to be looked at? So those high class people, they're like just sitting there. But myself and my brothers, you know, we get down and we eat, you know? And then, some of the people, they said to the Sheikh, "Sheikh, some of your big guys, you know, those, what they call them, those dignitaries and VIPs, very important people, because they are the minister, not minister in church, huh?" You know what I'm talking about? Minister meaning what?
Minister of state.
Minister of state, secretary of state, ministers of agriculture, foreign affairs. Yeah, they go to Sheikh bin Baz and they sit with him and ask him questions and stuff and this. So some of the people, they said, "Sheikh, some we've seen at the faces of those big guys, the VIPs, they're kind of like looking at those brothers getting into the plate. Can we just give them a plate by themselves?" The Sheikh, he got mad. He said, "Listen, man, they come to sit with me and I am happy to eat with me. I'm happy with that. If those VIPs don't like it, we get them a plate on the side." La ilaha illallah. So these people, they come to see me. They are my guests. Let them eat. Teach them. After, tell them, "Ta'alu barakallahu fiik." MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar, ya akhwan. Alhamdulillah. Tayyib. So he said, this is the proof that praiseworthy and virtuous manners can be picked up, just as they can be innate. However, good manners that are innate are decisively better. The Sheikh is saying, however, if somebody is born with those good manners, Allah put it in them, they born with them, that it's better. It's better. And he says, why? Because that is because naturally good manners are a person's inborn characteristic and something innate. He does not need to force himself to behave well. That's who he is. That's who she is. Unlike someone who don't have good manners, he's like, "Man, I'm in here, I don't want to mess it up for myself, okay? So I gotta behave." So he has to continue to remind himself. If he forget, he mess it up. But those people that it's in them, That's who they are. Nor does he have to overcome any difficulty or struggle to manifest these manners. Rather, it is a bounty from Allah who gives to whomever he pleases. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those people. Ameen. Faddal ya akhi barakallahu fi. Alhamdulillah. Sit. Sit correctly, please. The Shaykh, he says, however, even though he says, the Shaykh, he says, those people who have good manners, innate, Allah put it in them. They were born good people, having good manners, nice, patient, and the like. Better than to have to work for them and to attain them. He says, however, anyone who has been deprived of innate good character may try to work and attain it through practicing and adapting to it, as well, or as we will mention in what is to come, insha'Allah ta'ala. So meaning that a person should not say, well, oh, listen, I wasn't born with this, so hey, may Allah have mercy on me. No. You weren't born with it, work for it. Work for it. If you see a character, a good character, and you know what's going to help us to try our best to adorn ourselves with those characters that we may not have in us, knowing the virtue of it. What does it do to you in this life? What is the reward from Allah, the Almighty and Majestic, for that character in this life and the hereafter? And if we're sincere and serious about the reward, then inshallah ta'ala we're going to do it. If somebody, for example, talk a lot, constantly getting in trouble talking about this and that, doesn't stop talking, no doubt that's not a good character. Have to behave, being kind, don't talk much. So what that person going to do now to stop talking? He has to do it in two ways. One way, look at how many trouble, how much trouble that person get in his life by talking. And if he don't like trouble, and he don't want to get in trouble again, he's going to say, hey, listen, I got to cut down talking. That's one way. The other way, look at the virtue and benefits that Allah gave to those who doesn't just talk. Because then he can apply many ayats. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. There is not a statement that he or she say, except that there is an angel ready to record it. So now if it's going to be recorded, whether it's going to be for you or against you, so you're going to be careful now before you say anything. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man kana minkum yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut." Subhanallah, he gives another choice. Any one of you who believes in Allah and Allah's day, let him or her say that which is good or be silent. Being silent is a good thing as well. Can you imagine if somebody say to somebody in the community talking all day, bothering everybody in the salat, in the aqiqah, in walima, in the parking lot, whatever. And that person is broke. and he has a family and he's going through a lot of hardship, the rich brother from the community said to him, listen man, I'm going to keep an eye on you. If nobody complains about you talking, if you keep quiet, I give you $1,000 a day. Huh? What do you think that brother's going to do? Say it. Huh? Huh? Put a tape on his mouth. Figuratively or just literally, right? If that man really needs money, is there an easier way to make money? Yeah. $1,000 a day. All we need from you is quiet. Don't say anything. Of course, say Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Kayfa halak ya akhi. And that's it. Read Quran. Actually, if you read Quran, we'll give you another 1,000. If we see you reading Tilawat al-Usul, another 1,000. Allahu Akbar. I see a lot of smiley faces. Don't ask me about who's that brother. But I know we should know who we are. But Allah has greater reward, Yaqwan. Money in nothing. Money, yes, alhamdulillah, can get us here and there, but cannot get us to the Jannah. Just money. For those who have money and they use it properly, alhamdulillah, for the sake of Allah, and they get it from means that are halal, now, alhamdulillah, that contributes in that journey towards the Jannah. Now, tayyib. After this, the Shaykh says, وَهُنَا مَسْأَلَةً وَهِيَ أَيُّهُمَا أَفْضَلُ رجل جبل على خلق حميد ورجل يجاهد نفسه أو رجل يجاهد نفسه على التخلق به فأيهما أعلى منزلة وأعظم أجرا. Here is the question. Okay. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, who is better of two people? Who is better than the other? Someone who attains good manners, means someone who works hard. He didn't have them, but he worked hard to have those good manners. Or someone with them naturally. Someone that was born naturally. Who knows? I said who knows, I didn't say who tries. Right? There was who knows. Who will try? Yeah. We make it easy. Now,
the person who
have it naturally. Say that. The person who have it naturally. Now.
Person who
work
hard
for them. Now. The person who worked hard to attain good manners. The one who worked hard. The one who worked hard. Alright. So we have two groups. No, three. Now, Ahmed.
Innate.
The one who has it. Naturally. What else? Now.
The one who
has it naturally. Tayyib. What else? So we have two groups here. Two answers. Couple brothers, they says, those who have it naturally, they better. And there is another group, they say, those who work hard for it, they better. Now.
The reward may be the same.
We have a third opinion now. He says maybe they're the same. Masha'Allah. Now, what else? Another opinion? Now.
Those who work for it and those who already have it and work for whatever extra
cash. Masha'Allah. You read the book before? See, that's why. He read the book. Alhamdulillah, that's good. That's the benefits of reading books. Anyway, here is the answer, ya akhwan, barakallahu fikum. قال الشيخ العثيمين رحمه الله ونقول جوابا على هذه المسألة إنه لا شك أن الذي جبل على الخلق أكمل من حيث تخلقه بذلك أو من حيث وجود الخلق فيه لأنه لا يحتاج إلى عناء ولا مشقة ولا يفوته في بعض المواطن والأماكن إذ أن حسن الخلق فيه سجية وطبع فهو في أي وقت تلقاه تجده حسن الخلق وفي أي مكان تلقاه تجده حسن الخلق وعلى أي حال تلقاه تجده حسن الخلق فهو من هذه الناحية أكمل بلا شك وأما الخلق الذي يكون بالتطبع وبالمعالجة والممارسة أو التمرين فالإنسان يؤجر عليه من جهة مجاهدة نفسه، لكنه من حيث كمال الخلق أنقص بكثير من القسم الأول. قال فإذا رزق الإنسان الخلقين جميعا طبعا وتطبعا كان ذلك أكمل. The Sheikh, he brings some tafsir, details to the answer actually. He says, so this issue that is worthy of discussion here, who is more virtuous? Someone who has commendable character naturally, or someone who worked to attain those character? Which of them has a higher status and more reward than the other? The Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen says, so listen attentively to the answer inshallah. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen says, we reply to this question saying, certainly the person created with good manners is more complete with regards to his behavior and with regards to the actual presence of the manners within him or her. That is because he does not need to struggle or overcome any difficulty in manifesting those manners. Nor are these manners absent in certain situations and scenarios, since they are found within his natural disposition. Whenever and wherever you meet such a person, you find him having good manners. Whenever you meet that person, in any circumstances, that person, he or she, always have good manners. No matter what the situation. So from this angle, he is more complete without doubt. Because this person who Allah installed and put these manners in him, he's always acting good. Always. Any place, any time you come, whenever you see that person has good manners. He says, now as for the one who struggles, refines himself, and attains good manners, then that person is certainly to be rewarded for that struggle. That person will be rewarded for that struggle due to his personal struggle. However, he is much more deficient than the other when it comes to the completeness of his character. Why? Because that person, now he's watching. It's not like the one, it's in him smoothly, alhamdulillah. But the other one, he has watch. He has to always be mindful. What did they say? What did they say? The other one, alhamdulillah, that's him. That's his name. He's natural. I give you an example. It's like someone, his name, Bilal. His name, Bilal. Rayron. So whenever somebody say Bilal, the one who is named Bilal, what does he do?
He turns around
like this. Rayron. He turns around. Because that's his... Bilal. Yes. Oh, not you, not you. Bilal. Yes, akhi. Not you again. Take this to Bilal. And then the guy goes, who's Bilal? Me. See, he always responds. Because that's his Bilal, right? Somebody want to act as Bilal. He's Ibrahim. His name is Ibrahim. His brother is like 60 years old, maybe. All he people call him for all these years, Ibrahim, Ibrahim. Now he wants to act as who? Bilal. Sometimes they come and say, Bilal, Bilal, Bilal. He forgets that he's acting as Bilal. He may say to the person, okay, man, you bothering us. There is no Bilal in here. Right or wrong. But that's him. They're looking for him. I just want to give that example. Likewise, someone who's have manners of generosity. Man, he gives everything. That's why you find certain people, man, they give everything. He just go to his pocket and give everything like this. He don't go like this. And look at it and see what he gonna pull like a $5 out of $700. Unless if somebody said to him and remind him, Akhi, generosity. Oh, astaghfirullah. Go ahead, Akhi. And still he gonna like, okay, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. I'm telling you, take it, man. Take it, Akhi, take it. But someone who has good manners, Bismillah. See? What he gonna do, this guy who has manners in him? What he gonna do after this? Who knows? He get to his pocket and he put everything. What he gonna do after that? Go to the other pocket. Give everything. There you go. Faddal, Akhi. Jazakallah khair. Faddal. Naam. Good manners. Somebody who has these manners of patience, forbearance. Doesn't matter. You talk about me, you don't talk about me. It's the same. Is he going to get mad one day? He's not going to get mad. But someone who is like, listen, I'm going to try to be patient with my brothers. But one day he's going to snap. One day he's going to go back to the natural things. That's why the Shaykh says, those who have naturally good manners, they better. Why? Because that's who they are. That's who they are. But still, the other ones, they have to work hard. And by them working hard, Allah rewards them. There's a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh, he says, the people, there is four categories of people when it comes to good manners. When it comes to these good manners, there's four categories of people. We'll leave that in the next class tomorrow, inshaAllah ta'ala, between Maghrib and Isha at the same time. جزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.